Today's Bible reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, and you can find that on page 933 of the red Bibles underneath your seats. The resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep.
Very good. For those who want to follow along in their Bibles, feel free to keep them open to that page. That's the little bit we'll be looking at. I'd like to start with a prayer. Since we believe in this God who is actually alive, we have this privilege of being able to talk to him in prayer. And so I'd like to be able to pray and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you that you're a God who hears us. We thank you that you are the God of Easter and that Easter is really good news. As I speak here, help me to be clear. Help us to understand why Easter is good news and to know what to do with that news as a result. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So in 1851, there was a discovery in New South Wales that changed Australia forever. It took us from being this faraway place in the British Empire to being one of the wealthiest lands on the planet. It set us up to become the modern nation that we are today. Now, do any of the kids know what that discovery was? Any guesses? One in the back. Gold? Exactly, gold. Gold was discovered in New South Wales. That right there is a replica of the Welcome Nugget that was found in 1858. It weighed 69 kilograms. It would be worth $3.8 million if you found it today. News of this find spread quickly. Within 10 years, the population of Australia had doubled. 500,000 people heard about this gold and decided to walk away from their lives working in cities or on farms and travel halfway around the world to come and try their luck in the Australian goldfields. It all happened as a result of this news, and this news wasn't particularly local. It was everywhere. There was people from England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, America, France, Italy, Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, Poland, China, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands. They all came here in search of gold. It's one of the most significant moments in Australian history. And it all happened as a result of news. Now, this is a days well before internet or TV or anything like that. Communication happens by letters and by newspapers that have to go by boat to the other side of the world. And still in the space of 10 years, the equivalent of the entire population of Tasmania packed up their lives, jumped on a boat and travelled to the other side of the world. Would you have done the same? Would you have joined in this great adventure of risk and reward in search of gold? The chances of personal success were actually really low. Very few people succeeded at all. But they came anyway, just in the hope of this good news. What kind of news would it take to change your life so quickly and so dramatically? What sort of stuff would you need to hear that would compel you to pack up your life, jump on a boat, and head to the other side of the world. Well, in a Bible reading this morning, a guy by the name of Paul thinks he has found that kind of news. And he's found that kind of news in the events of Easter. The first thing I want you to notice today is that Easter is a newsworthy event. Have a look at how this writer Paul begins this section of this letter he wrote to a group of people in Corinth. He says, verse 15, chapter 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Paul calls this thing gospel. That might seem a somewhat strange word to use when usually we hear that word as the title of a book with a guy's name after it, the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of Matthew. But the word gospel just means good news. In those days, gospel was the good news of some important event that had occurred. It might be some great big battle that was won or some king that had been born, but it was good news. And news like that of discovering gold that everyone needed to hear about and find out about. What sort of news have you had that you've simply needed to tell other people about? Perhaps you've got a new toy for your birthday and you just want to tell your friends at school about it. Or perhaps you've just bought a house or had a baby, or you've had your sports team won this great big game. Good news travels fast. You simply want to tell other people about it. You tell your friends about it. And even those who are just around you, you don't even know, you want to tell them about it. Because that's what you do with news. The Bible records Jesus as that sort of a newsworthy kind of a guy. Have a look at how it describes him. They'll be up on the board. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The second one, so the man went away and began to tell everyone in the 10 cities how much Jesus had done for him. And the people were amazed. And even after Jesus had gone back to heaven, this news continues to spread about him. And so he reads, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Jesus must have been exciting news for it to spread that fast. So how is the news of Jesus comparable to the discovery of gold, or the birth of a baby, or a successful battle in war? What does Paul simply have to tell other people about? Have a look at verse 3 and 4. This is what Paul must tell people. For what I received, I passed on as of first importance. That Christ, which is Jesus, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is Paul's news. Paul is convinced that the historical events of Easter are truly newsworthy. They are the most important thing that he can tell other people about. Paul's news is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived and then died on a cross for our sins, as the Bible predicted that he would. Jesus didn't die because he was naughty or because he was bad. In fact, he was really, really good. He never did one naughty thing. And so Paul is convinced that Jesus died to take our naughty things, for our naughty things, so that he could take them away, so that they could be forgiven, that they wouldn't be over us anymore. But as we learned in the video and the puppets before us, Easter doesn't end on a sad note because after Jesus is buried, he comes back to life again on the third day, as the Bible predicted he would. There's 500 people that saw him alive. people that can show that this is actually a true and historical event. As we consider Easter, Easter then is the good news, but surprising and perhaps shocking news, that we are worse than we think that we are. Your mistakes, the way you ignore God and the bad things that you do are actually so bad that God would have to come to earth and to suffer this really gory and brutal death on a cross so that you could be forgiven. The news of Easter is actually that you are worse than you think that you are. But it also comes with some really good news attached to that. That you are more loved than you could ever possibly imagine. Even at your worst, in the most excruciating way of knowing everything that is wrong with you, you are loved completely. Jesus loved you so much that he willingly went to the cross so that your sins and your bad things could be forgiven. He rose so that he could be with you forever. That's the good news of Easter, and it's news. It's news that didn't end like the news of the gold rush or news of some new birth, but news that has been passed down on and on through generations for the last 2,000 years. We sit here this morning in this room because Paul passed that message on, and that message got passed on so that we hear it here today. So the question then remains, what do we do with the news? What do we do with news? There are some things that come to us in life as instructions of things that we need to do to get something. Take making hot cross buns, for example. If you want to make hot cross buns, you look up a recipe in a book, or perhaps even more applicable these days on the internet, and you get instructions for how to make them. You find out that you need to take flour and milk and cinnamon and sugar and eggs and butter and fruit and mix them all together in a bowl. That you divide them up and roll them into little balls. You put two thin white crosses on the top of them. And then you put them in the oven for 25 minutes at 170 degrees. Those are instructions. At the end of it, you get a delicious hot cross bun. But instructions are different than news. Instructions tell you what you need to do. News tells you what has been done. Instructions tell you how to make a hot cross bun. News tells you that after this service, we have trays full of hot cross buns that are already made and ready for you to enjoy. There's nothing for you to do with that. If you believe me and you like hot cross buns, at the end of the service, you can seek them out and go and get one. Easter and the heart of the Christian message is not about information or instructions about what you need to do to sort your life out or get things sorted out, get things organized to be a better person. Easter is the news of what God has done for you. Have a look at how Paul says it in verse 2 of our reading today. He says this, "By this gospel," which is by this good news, "you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." What do you do with news? Well, like the news of the hot cross buns, you believe it. And then you act in response to that. The good news of Easter is this good news of the gospel. And Paul says, by that news you are saved. That is news worth clinging onto and holding onto and never letting go of. Now, to be saved, it doesn't mean you've got a belly full of hot cross buns or even that you've found a $3.8 million gold nugget. It means that the bad things you've done and the mess you've made of your life won't disqualify you from the good things that God wants to give you. It means that all of that can be forgiven. It means that you are loved more than you will ever understand. And that you have this great opportunity of going to be with Jesus forever in heaven, where actually the floor is made of gold. This is news that can't be ignored. In 1850, millions of people heard the news about the gold in Australia. 500,000 of those people heard it as good news. It wasn't instructions for them about how to live. It was news that was so compelling that they pursued it and it completely changed their life. They believed the news about the gold, and in response, they packed up their lives, jumped on a ship and came to Australia, all for the chance, just a chance at how good that news could be. So how is it that you hear the news of Easter? Is the chance that that news is true, is that as compelling for you as this opportunity for gold was to all those people back in the 1850s. The news of Easter claims that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were historical events. It claims that you are loved at your worst more than you could ever imagine. It claims certain forgiveness for the mistakes that you've made and the bad things you've done. And it promises life forever with Jesus. That's not just a chance. The Bible's convinced that for those who believe in Jesus, that is absolutely certain. Easter is news. It's not instructions about something that you need to do. It's a message about what God has already done for you. That's a message that has been passed on for 2,000 years. It remains good news, worth clinging to, and never letting go. Amen. I'd just love to pray to our God again. Our Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter. As we hear it and as we think about it, it scarcely seems so good that it seems so good that we couldn't even believe that that's true. But we know it is. And so, Father, we ask that for those who hear it today, for us as we hear it for maybe the first time or maybe the 100th time, that we know that it's true. That we know that we are loved even in our worst. Please help us to cling to that always and never let it go. Amen.